Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably... And you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am the smart. I am the smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back, 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Very excited about having Michael Salzman back on the show. Michael is a 10-year, 11-year member of our Brain Trust, senior VP and partner at Berman & Company, and he is in charge of their a lot of their stuff that they work on over there, especially in the area of policy that around employment, especially in the area of minimum wage. And he's been reporting on this with us for a long time now. Michael, welcome back.
Hey, Jim, always a pleasure to be here.
It's good to have you back, and you just got a little promotion, didn't you?
You know, a little while ago, but yeah, but you know, there's been a lot going on over here, and we've had the opportunity to build out a good team, and so I'm just grateful for the opportunity.
Well, the cream rises to the top. That's what my grandmother used to tell me, and as I point out to my audience, no chopped liver on the Small Business Advocate Show. Only the best for them. And so, thank you for proving that we have an eye for talent. Hey, Michael. I polled my audience a week or so ago about minimum wage. What would minimum wage increase do for you? 60% said it wouldn't affect them because they were already paying over minimum wage. Now, on the one hand, you could say, well, that proves that that minimum wage would be good. Small business owners won't mind minimum wage. Of course, the other 40% had a different opinion. That's a lot of people. That's millions of business owners. And jobs, but 60% said they already were. And the reason I think that 60% proves that we don't need a minimum wage increase is because the marketplace is already taking care of it. What do you think?
Well, I got two thoughts. First of all, Jim, I think you're exactly right. I think that what the last couple of years showed, especially before the pandemic, is that you don't need government intervention for employees to get a raise. I think the other concern that's come up, though, is that, you know, even if employers are already at, let's say, a $12 to $15 starting wage, what I've heard from some folks is some version of this. If the federal government goes to a $15 minimum wage, that's going to give California license to then go to a $20 minimum
wage. Oh, yeah.
Wage.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to give Washington or Seattle to go to a $25 minimum wage. So it's not just moving the floor up, but it's what does that do to the blue states that are already going crazy?
Well, that's right. And so what you're talking about is upward pressure. And there are other areas where upward pressure could happen. And that's something that I keep reminding people about. If you have somebody that came to work for you a year ago at $12 an hour and they were glad to get it because they didn't know what they needed to know and they had to be trained, and you took them and under your wing, and you trained them, and they took initiative, and they showed performance. And yesterday you gave them a raise to $15 an hour, and they're so proud of themselves. And then the day after tomorrow, the government comes in and tells you that the new person you're going to hire on Friday has got to make $15 an hour. What does that say to that person that you just promoted to $15, raised $15, and now you're telling them to train this person that's making $15, and they don't know any more than she did or he did when they, you know, a year ago. What does that say? It doesn't work. It messes with the dynamic, doesn't it?
I think it does. I think it devalues hard work. And I also think that the bad news for that employee who had just gotten that raise is that what we know from over time is that, you know, if the entry-level worker gets a raise from 12 to 15, that doesn't mean that the person who is earning 15 is going to then go up to 18.
Right.
Typically, they get a much smaller bump, and so you have this issue of wage compression where some of the raises that employers could have given out before just aren't possible because they have to pay so much to folks who are just getting started, and that triggers all of the consequences that we've talked about in terms
right.
of whether it's automation or in some cases, you know, cutting back on hours or closures. And so,
well, now and now you're bringing in the economics of the deal. There's not an unlimited. We're not like the government. We can't print money, right? And when we come back after the break, I want to talk a little bit about equality, because that's the catchphrase now, right? Equity, not equality. We got laws for equality, right? But equity is now the new catchphrase coming out of the political correctness, and let's talk a little bit about how, you know, when you start raising minimum wage, you may think you're helping equity, but you're not. Because equity is not about equality. Equity is about outcomes. What do you wind up with? We'll talk about that after the break with our good friend Michael Salzman. Ponytail, I'm Jim Blasinger. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.